And welcome to the next talk. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Abe. I'm an artist and creative coder living in Berlin. If you're not familiar with the term creative coding, sorry, but there's no clear definition. But I see it as an approach to programming that focuses on process and exploration more than in high performance and correct results. Maybe it's a bit like painting or making music. But instead of a brush or an instrument, one uses code to create create images, sound, physical objects. Okay, sometimes I do use a brush. But there are multiple creative coding frameworks like P5.js and Processing, L5, Open Frameworks, many others. And since 2019, I contribute to one of those called OpenRNDR. OpenRNDR is written in Kotlin and uses Gradle to build your project and to download dependencies like FFmpeg, the lightweight gaming library, SDL, GLFW, FreeType, many others. And OpenRNDR provides algorithms and tools to work with media, with colors, shapes, time, GPU effects, and much more. And this talk ties to three concepts. The first one is the LGM rewiring topic. Like simple OpenRNDR programs, I thought, can be like wires connecting different programs, like KDenLive and GIMP and Inkscape and all the programs we talk here about. And this connection wouldn't be through any protocol, but through files that different programs can import and export, and by transforming media using OpenRNDR programs. As a creative coder, sometimes things are more exciting when they make less sense. But it's not necessarily nonsensical wiring that I'm after. Is such bridging of tools can be invaluable when you need to produce or transform media in ways that is not possible with existing tools. The second point that connects to this is the long build processes common in large projects, which I hear about. Which made me think that, okay, then I should do some live coding. And to show that it's possible to write scripts to manipulate not only text files, like in the terminal, but also to alter and produce videos and meshes and images and sounds, all kind of transformations. And the third point I thought it connects to this is that of repetitive tasks, because I see often creatives doing repetitive work, like laboriously processing assets after assets. And I thought that I could show one way to automate such tasks. The title of my talk includes live coding. Live coding is a type of creative coding, often understood as performing in front of an audience, usually writing code to generate sound or visuals. I'm using here the term in a more loose way, meaning writing code to produce an output and quickly iterating on that code based on the results, something we can do also without an audience. So let's give it a try and do a live demo, like what could go possibly wrong. First, I have to merge my screen. And here we are. So here I'm demonstrating, this is a live coding option for an OpenRNDR. It's called the Olive, OpenRNDR live mode. And after a second, we have here the program. So we could do here, like save. As soon as you save, you see the change. I'm just going to do some simple things like a circle, put it in the center. Oops, is it there? Yes. I'll change the stroke weight to 10 pixels to make it a bit more visible. Drawer dot. I will change the color of that border to maybe white. But opacified with 0.5, so it's a bit more pretty. And finally, this part, I'm just going to animate it, so you see that it's not just a still image. So this is going to be the radius. It's going to be, I don't know, 250, and the sine of the current time in seconds times 50. So you can see, of course, if I use it somewhere, then you can see how that changes. So you can see there the animation. This is the Olive mode. For the rest of this demo, I'm not going to use the Olive mode because OpenRDR is anyway very fast to compile, and I'm going to be working with assets. So what do we have here? I'm going to create a new program from scratch. LGM, I don't know. This one. This is a basic program which I could already run and get a window. Oh, it remembers my previous run. So here. So the first, I'm gonna add drag and drop functionality to this program. Window, drop text, listen, and I just will print whatever I drop. So if I run this program and I drop an image there, then we can see, maybe if I, yeah, we can see that it prints something that has text and a path. So what can we do? I want to show that image. So I'm going to create dummy image. Is draw, oops, not that. Draw image. That's a demo effect. Image. They should import this thing. This is very funny. The thing that never happens. What I can do instead, this should work, but I'm going to load an image. For example, one of the ones we have here, like that one. Okay, we have loaded an image, and I can display it, draw our image, like that. This should already show that image on the screen, and now shoot it. That's very odd. Draw our image. Worst case, I will just start it again, Kotlin class, P01. Small detour. The thing that never happens. we have here, draw the image, and then we just load it. Var image. I'll try to draw image. Now it's there. I don't know. Had a glitch. Fine. Before we saw here that this thing had text, and I will take the first text, which is the path we loaded, and I will store this in a file variable. And if that file exists, then I will load that image dot absolute, no, is f absolute path. And just to avoid memory leaks, I will destroy the previous one. So now we have an image viewer. Do we? This is very strange. I wonder if it's because not having internet. Is something related to the screen, I think. to having the external screen, I think. I'm going to try to disable my internal one. Active. Okay, that's... So we have an image viewer. What was this small glitch due to the setup here? Let me grab my glasses. And what I'm going to do next, I'm going to add... So what do we want to... It's a very limited image viewer, so I want to be able to pan and zoom there. So I'm going to do extend camera 2D. So now we can... operate with that image. We can move it around. We can zoom in and out. We can rotate. What do we find the nicest ever crop here? And we wanted to save this. So I'm going to extend and use the screenshots functionality. So now when we hit the space bar and we like this, for example, space, and it saves automatically an image on the screenshots folder named after our current program and in the with the current time. I want to be able to add some effects to this image, so I'm going to do effects one. It's going to be like perturb effect. This is shader based effect. And I want to also add some text. I want to add this. Let's make a poster for this event. So it's going to be the LGM 2026. So I will load a font for that. Var font is load font. And we need to specify a size. Now I just have to see there the fonts I have. I'm going to take this one. I opened too many SVG files. Well, we were here. No, this one. Load the font. Oops. I want to copy path from the root. We have the font, and then I'm going to write the text there, drawer text, LGM 2026, at position 50 and height minus 50. So if I run that now, we should be able, where's our text? I haven't enabled the font. Drawer font map is our font. So there we have this funny. Now I would like this to be fixed. I don't want this to be spinning there. What can we do? I could draw before. Extend. What is this on stage? Stage. We're going to use the after draw stage, and I'm going to draw there the text. And I'm going to draw it at the center of the screen. It will look better. For that, I'm going to use the writer. And in that case, we don't need to specify the position or drawer. And I'm going to align it with the center. Horizontal align is 0.5. So center of the screen, vertical align is 0.5. So now it's fixed there. We can manipulate the background. And let's apply now some effects to make it pretty. The first one, I did load an effect. So now I should apply this post-processing effect. I'm going to do it here, extend post. And I'm applying the post effect, input, output, and we have the fx1, apply, input, output. That's our first effect. There we have something more pretty. I would like to be able to configure this effect. So let's add a GUI with a bunch of parameters for this. So it's about GUI is GUI. So now it's ready. I have just to enable it, extend GUI, and I have to add our effect, GUI.add. Add our fx1. Now we can configure our shader. What do you do? Extend. It was lowercase. So now we have here automatic GUI for this effect, and which I cannot really see from here. The text is very tiny. But yeah, there we have our first layer. So I'm going to add two more effects to finish this poster for the event. Actually, it could do val before two for unmutable. Val fx2. I'm going to do some color correction. And the third one I'm going to add is going to be the CMYK halftone. Oh, 2 minutes left. As I did before, down here, I am applying this fx1, but instead of applying them one by one, I'm going to make a composite effect. So we're going to see the effects. It's going to be fx1, then fx2, then fx3. So now we have this composite of three effects. And I also want to add them to the GUI so we can configure them all. GUI.add fx3. And now finally, I just have to here say we want to use this composite effect. And so there it is. Now we have that. Let me see here the scaling to make it more familiar to us. We can change the colors of this effect and play with this. And when we find a beautiful poster we like, we just hit space and we save it to the disk. And there. Of course, we could have the text configurable very easily, so it would be useful for next year as well. I was a bit delayed in my live coding. I had here a bunch of programs I would like to show quickly, but some of them, let me see, fonts to images that may be useful at some point. For example, this one just shows the last one, but what it does is reads all the fonts in a folder, and it creates an image for each of them. So then now I have here images for different fonts. This can be convenient. You could like generate automatically. You say you have a logo or something, and you want to generate lots of images to see how it looks with different fonts. Other programs I'm maybe not going to have time to run. Let's see. Once we have those images, we could convert them to SVGs. So it's using here as a small program, uses marching squares. And it also applies some distortion. So we converted fonts to images, images to SVGs. Now we would run the next program to convert SVGs to meshes. I have this here that would produce an image, a mesh like this. And I did this funny nonsensical thing, which is then convert the meshes to images again. So we could run this in a loop. The mesh is an image, and the image to SVG, SVG to mesh, and you keep going and see where this transformation leads you. And I think with that, I'm going to have to conclude today. If you're interested in learning more, you can join tomorrow the workshop where we can take a look at more practical use cases of this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, more time for this in the workshop tomorrow. But if there are any questions right now, let's take one or two. Are there any questions? There's one over there.
Yeah, I was wondering, thanks for the amazing presentation, so inspiring. The composite effects, so you can apply the composite effect, but you cannot add the composite effect to the GUI in one step. You still have to add each of them individually.
I didn't have time to try that.
Ah, okay, so it could be working.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Tomorrow.
I have a question for myself. What went wrong with the screen?
Okay, any other question? There's segments from Simon. And then we switch over.
I see that you use a lot of the tooling from the IDE to find the write quickly, at least. Are you also comfortable doing this stuff without the IDE?
Right. So you mean that, I have some shortcuts. So when I type ORA, it's open render application, and it writes the minimal lines of code. Then, yeah, the thing that happens is the Kotlin language is developed by the same people as they develop the IDE. So it's very well integrated. And the autocomplete is amazing. That's one of the things I enjoy most of this framework. It's very discoverable. So if I don't know something, I would just type dot and use, or you type parentheses and you see all the possible parameters. You can run it from the command line because it's a Gradle project. So you just type Gradle run and you run the program. You can export a shadow jar or executable. I don't know how good is the integration with other IDEs. I think there is some VS Code, but yeah, works best with IDEA.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.